This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it, Live Bet Saturday. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Mark Melusis, and we got you covered here. And there's not a lot of offensive action in our two college football bowl games, as we've got Penn State punting it back to Clemson with 10:13 to go in the first half. Nittany Lions up 3-0. They're laying 2.5, and that total is all the way down to 30.5. Well, that's the Pinstripe Bowl. When it comes to the Military Bowl, 9:39 to go in the third. Pitt with a 7-3 lead. They're laying 7.5, and that total is down to 27.5. So a bit of a trend going on here, Moose, as we're on the air looking for bets. Not a lot of action to react to at this point in time.
No, not a lot of reaction. Penn State on a 2nd and 15, one of their wideouts, I didn't catch his name, dropped a, what would have been a first down, given the Nittany Lions a first down right around midfield. He dropped it. They end up third down and did not able to convert the 3rd and 15, the 3rd and long, punting it back to Clemson. East Carolina's got the ball now. 1st and 10 at the Pitt 47, down 7-3, 9:49 mark of that third quarter, Dustin.
Yeah, let's see if Clemson can get something going here. I pre-flop have a bet on Clemson -2.5. I don't love it right now. And then I'm also on the in-game under 43.5. Now down to 30.5. I wouldn't touch anything at this point in time. But that's where we stand when it comes to that. While these games are kind of slow to get going, let's talk about the NFL slate today, because we actually have two interesting games. One between two Titans in the AFC that I think do have a chance to make some noise with elite defenses. Houston and the Chargers, Mark, and then the Ravens and the Packers, which will feature two backup quarterbacks. Let's start with the Texans and Chargers, because both teams looking like postseason bound and potential threats with the way they play. Would you be scared if you had a ticket on an AFC team this year and you had to see the Houston Texans and their defense come to town?
I would be, because I got a ticket on the Texans to get through the AFC.
Me too.
Because,
me too.
You know, Dustin, you and I are in the same boat. Look at that. Going to Mikey Stadium when we were kids, Army games and this and that. I love the Texans. I really do. You know what the reason why I love Houston is? Like, I could look at their phase of football defensively, and, you could make an argument. They're as good as, offense and defense. If you're comparing the potential playoff teams in the AFC, they might be the best unit of anyone. That defense is going to give them an opportunity regardless of the opponent that they go up against. And I think CJ Stroud, I heard someone mention this the other day when he got knocked out with that concussion, looking at Davis Mills, where Davis Mills didn't necessarily need to be elite. He just needed to get the hell out of the way. Right. And what I mean by that is you don't need a lot from that offense with CJ Stroud. Just don't turn the football over. Take care of the football. When you're presented with opportunities to put points up on the scoreboard, take the points, you know, and that defense is going to keep them. I think they're live. Like, I love them today, plus the 1.5 against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I do think they are absolutely live to get through what is an AFC. I don't trust Denver. I really don't, in a big time spot with Bo Nix. You mean to tell me Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville is going to get there? I don't see it. Buffalo and that defense, don't see that. I love the Rodgers story with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden going to get themselves back to a Super Bowl this year. There's no Mahomes. Bill's defense is weak. Like, why can't it be Houston's year this year because of how good that defense is? In their matchup today against the Los Angeles Chargers, I love Harbaugh as a coach. Coaching matters in the National Football League, but I'd lean Texans today, and I think Houston's going to be live in the AFC.
I'm totally with you. I think it's a really bad matchup for the Chargers. They're missing two offensive linemen, potentially a third as well at guard. I don't know how they deal with the front for Houston. I've got them 14-1 like you to win the AFC. I think they're a dangerous team. I think the Chargers are actually dangerous in their own right, but not being able to protect Herbert, at some point it does feel like a house of cards where the guy just had wrist surgery a couple weeks ago, or hand surgery. At some point, a potential another injury is coming down the road because he can only do so much. I think both defenses show up today. I really like the under in this game. Houston is 10-5 to the under. Chargers 8-7 to the under this year. It's a rematch a bit for the Chargers, but I think the Houston defense dictates the style of every single fight they're in, and it's going to be tough for the Chargers offensively to do a lot.
And I also think Houston, you're going to get a better performance than you did 6 days ago against the Las Vegas Raiders, where it was not emblematic of what you usually see from Houston. And maybe it was a look ahead spot for them. Maybe they kind of rest on their laurels after the initial pick six in that game, Dustin. But I think today against Los Angeles, and I love Harbaugh, but everything you mentioned is true. Can you win the battle up front? And I don't think the Chargers can this afternoon against that Houston front seven and that Houston defensive line. So therefore, I would take the Texans. And I think you put it perfectly. I think Houston dictates the style of every game that they are in. And you know what? For a team at 14, 15 to one to get through the AFC, that's the kind of team that you want to invest in.
Mark Melusis, Dustin Sweetelson with you. Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, the late game today, Baltimore and Green Bay, Packers laying 3, totals 38.5. We're looking at Malik Willis and Snoop Huntley. I don't know where you were at the beginning of the season, Moose, but coming into the year, I had the Ravens to have the best record in football. I had John Harbaugh as a long shot for coach of the year. I had the most wins. I thought they were going to just run through the regular season and dominate. And I think the thing hanging over this game is the report that came out a few days ago about Lamar Jackson and where this team is and how they're kind of scared to operate and use him in practice. And they just do whatever he wants. And they're not really pushing him at this point. And we're not going to see him in this game because of another injury here. I don't know how you back the Ravens in this spot. But when it comes to the total, I think the under might be the play at 38.5. Does anything jump out to you when it comes to the Ravens and the Packers?
Yeah, I'd lean Green Bay more than I would lean Baltimore. And I'm with you, Dustin. Before the start of the year, I think this was my Super Bowl matchup was Green Bay and Baltimore. The game that we're going to see later on this evening out at Lambeau Field. And I was really bullish on both teams. I thought Baltimore, after what we saw in their failures last 2 years in the playoffs, I thought this was finally going to be their year. Nothing's gone right. So now you're seeing reports about the commitment with Lamar and, you know, his, you know, I guess I wouldn't say lack of effort, but I guess consistent how they use him during the course of the week. He's been banged up, injured. He's taken a lot of hits. It's kind of symbolic of a team that missed their window. Whether it be the Flowers fumble against the Kansas City Chiefs, whether it be the Andrews drop against the Buffalo Bills. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at a team where maybe Harbaugh gets fired at the end of the season. You know, people questioning about the future of Lamar Jackson down there in Baltimore. I still think he's really, really good. I just don't think he's been healthy. But if you're going to ask me, if I'm going to look at quarterbacks, which is the most important position in the NFL, I'd lean more Malik Willis than I would Snoop Huntley. And I'd lean more Packers defense than I would Ravens defense. So if you're going to give me a side, I'd take Green Bay laying the 3 against Baltimore. Nothing's gone right for the Ravens this year. I have a hard time envisioning that they're going to walk into Lambeau tonight with their backup quarterback and all of a sudden knock off the Green Bay Packers. I think Green Bay does enough, and I agree with you. I'd lean under in the game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points, but the points that are scored, I think it's going to be more so the Packers than it is the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't trust that Ravens defense very much, so I totally get wanting to go with Green Bay in this spot. Every step of the way, it's felt like, oh, Baltimore's going to fix this with the defense. No, I think it's like a system issue at their core of who they are as a group right now. And when you look at John Harbaugh, doesn't this feel like the end of Pete Carroll in Seattle? Look, he won a Super Bowl, a lot of success, a lot of consistency. But maybe the messaging just got a little stale and it's time for a fresh set of eyes and ideas to come in and turn this thing over.
Yeah, you know what? And Pat Riley would often talk about this in the NBA where a coach has a shelf life. Now, there's more turnover now in when you look at professional sports than ever has been before. But I think the mantra kind of rings true, Dustin, when you look at it, to where there does come a point where the message no longer cuts through, where you're no longer to engage. Not saying that those guys are tuned out, but sometimes in order to get to where you need to go, the voice needs to change. And that might be the case. And listen, if they decide to move on from John Harbaugh after this season, I think the Giants would be interested? I think there'd be a number of teams that would be interested in John Harbaugh to take over their program based on what he has done down there with the Baltimore Ravens. But it almost looks like this year, everything from the past two seasons has caught up to Baltimore. Nothing has gone right, and you can see that coaching change after the year.
No, absolutely. If the Giants could get Harbaugh, they could get Mike Tomlin. Like, it's an immediately floor raiser. And then for Lamar, maybe he gets someone else who wants to utilize him in a different way. But some of the stories coming out the last couple of days, it was kind of shocking to hear at the way they just kind of let Lamar do whatever he kind of wants to do. I understand a franchise quarterback should have some level of control, but it might be a little bit too much. Speaking of quarterbacks, Cade Klubnik made a nice play while we were chatting just now and got Clemson down into the red zone. They're at the 15-yard line. And on a first and 10, he throws a dangerous pass Clemson trails Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl with 7:01 to go in the first half, 3-0. They could potentially tie it up here as Clemson's now favored. Ooh, it just went back to Penn State favored, -1.5, and that total's 32.5. Also, ECU got on the board. They scored a touchdown. 10-7, they lead the Military Bowl. Don't look now. Just add water. It's instant offense when it comes to these early bowl games. ECU leads Pitt 10-7. Pitt's now laying 2.5. Total's 35.5. But Clemson's the story. Can they take the lead, or will they end up settling for a field goal and tying it? Feels like, Moose, we're looking at a field goal potentially here from Dabo Swinney.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the Klubnik, I mean, he threw the first pass. I mean, should have been picked.
Yeah.
I mean, the defensive back made a beautiful play. I don't know exactly what he's looking at and dropped the football. But if the defensive back had any set of hands, that would have been an interception. Second down went nowhere. So they're facing now a 3rd and 10 in the red zone for the Penn State Nittany Lions with Penn State leading 3-0, 6:40 mark to go in the opening half.
You know, we'll do a full preview of the Fenway Bowl coming up later. That begins in our final hour. But based on what I've seen from these two games, and it's a game involving Army, and UConn doesn't have their starting quarterback, under 41.5. I think we need to make that an official play in the Fenway Bowl. We're in the Northeast. It's cold. These guys look miserable, and we've got an option team in Army in that game. I'm going to lock it in. I'm going to go under 41.5 when it comes to that one. Hey, as the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. It's not just about placing a bet at First Bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with AI handicapping tools. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSiN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or at firstbet.com. That's promo code VSiN250.
Live Bet Saturday on
VSiN,
the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Saturday rolls on. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. He's Mark Melusis, and we are all over the early window. I'll call it action, but maybe it's not actual action. There's less action in these games, Moose, than my freshman dorm. We just had Clemson get all the way down to the 9-yard
line. You and me both, Dustin.
Clemson just got down to the 9-yard line and missed a field goal. And now Penn State has the football. They take over. And right now you got the Nittany Lions laying 3.5. Now it's down to 2.5 as they've been unable to do much offensively. Your in-game total in the Pinstripe Bowl, 26.5. My goodness. Under 43.5 that we bet like three segments ago feels like it can't miss unless we get overtime, but 5:30 remaining in the first half and Penn State working from their own 21, just trying to run out this clock and go into the locker room with a 3-point lead there at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's got 3 rushing yards on the afternoon. I mean, that's it. And we're at under 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. Clemson's defense, give them credit. They played well. Penn State's been done in by some drops. They went for it on fourth down. They should have converted. Their tight end lost his footing. Klubnik has underthrown some guys as well that he has had open. And especially on the third down, 3rd and 10 pass inside the 15-yard line for Penn State. Before they missed the field goal, he had a receiver right front corner of the end zone that if he puts it on him, ends up being a touchdown, bounces it to him, incomplete pass, and then you get the missed field goal. So not much here offensively. Haven't seen many fireworks between the first two games that we've seen on the slate today, East Carolina and Pitt, which has got a little bit more interesting in the second half after really not much offense for the better part of the entire game. And then you've got 3 points now between Clemson and Penn State. It's been a battle of both defenses early on in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, ECU in the Military Bowl up 10-7 on Pitt. And with under 7 minutes to go in the third, Pitt just punted it back down by 3. Pirates take over. And I was just looking, you know, because they closed as 12.5-point dogs, ECU, +370 on the money line. You could have gotten with the Pirates, who were the backup quarterback because Caden Hauser is transferring. They have a 3-point lead with an ACC team that was right in the mix to win that league all season long. And right now ECU missing most of their key pieces, starting quarterback, starting running back, one of their best tight ends and a bunch of other guys. They actually have a lead in this bowl game. So don't tell the kids the bowl games don't matter. Maybe they don't matter to us like they used to anymore, but ECU's fighting their hearts out.
No, they are. And right now, +3.5, they're -114 when you look at it. And they have, they have a second 11 at their own 22 yard line coming up, leading the game 10-7. And you thought maybe with Pitt having that 10 play, 70 plus yard drive toward the tail end of the first half, Dustin, that maybe their offense would get on track in half number two. Really hasn't been up in the case at all. I think you mentioned right when we hit the airwaves this afternoon, the total was 53.5, right? That you bet the under in this one. And then it dropped precipitously throughout the course of the first half. And now you've got 17 points between the two teams. And he's giving East Carolina credit. An ode to Jeff Blake and the Pirates from years gone by. They're giving Pitt everything they can handle this Saturday.
I'm on the under 53, but here's what I'd say, Moose. As long as I've been betting, one thing I learned is when you get a great number, if that loses, you're going to lose spectacularly. I'm at a point where I'm anticipating like 12 overtimes. I had a bet. I decided a couple weeks ago I was going to bet on one of these bowl games, a Conference USA quarterback, Jacksonville State running team. I got over 98.5 rush yards. It closed at 109.5 rush yards. I had 11 yards of closing line value on this quarterback to run the football. He finished with -10 rushing yards in the game. So the margin I got in my CLV was what he had negatively when it comes to running the football. And by the way, ECU on a 4th-and-1 just went for it and scored a long touchdown. Gunn Jr. with a big pickup, and ECU is about to go up 10 on Pitt in the Military Bowl. That came out of was that an offensive play? I believe it was an offensive play. I'm seeing an offensive lineman downfield. I just looked up and saw him running by himself with no one in sight. But ECU with a huge touchdown, 68-yard touchdown run, and just like that, they're about to be up 17-7 following a PAT.
Well, that is a huge run. 4:56 mark of the third quarter. They're up 16-7 with the extra point pending. 4th-and-1 at their own 32-yard line, and they score a touchdown. I mean, that is huge. Give East Carolina. They got some fans in attendance as well down there, and Pitt has got to be stunned a little bit coming into this game. You know, we've talked about all the defections for both programs coming into it, Dustin. As this game got going, it's a, kind of like a who's who of who's not playing in this one, but that is a 4-play 77-yard drive as the Pirates are about to go up 10.
Wait, what's going on? Why is it off the board? All of a sudden I'm looking up and I see fans in the stands with their hands up. 10-7, it still says on the board. Did he step out of bounds? Wait. I don't know what just happened. I'm looking at I'm looking at a couple of betting spots. I'm still seeing it 10-7. They did put the 6 on the board. They said he ran out.
He stepped out of bounds.
14-yard game.
Where did he step out of bounds?
He only ran for 14 yards. Oh, man, that's a dagger. Although I like it for my under.
But where did he step out?
I didn't think he was that close to the sidelines, but they're saying he stepped out of bounds. Blake Harrell, the head coach for ECU, doesn't look thrilled with the call. I wouldn't either, because that was it. Now the momentum has been like the life has been sucked out of ECU, who just thought they were about to run away and go up 2 scores on Pitt in a low scoring game. And we're looking at a penalty on the following play. I'm going to assume it's going to be a hold on ECU because it's on ECU. This is where things start to unravel. Okay. From a betting perspective, you can get Pitt -1.5. They're college kids. Weird things happen. I am going to go Pitt money line, -140. I think Pitt, after that went down, comes back and wins this game. It makes no sense. They've been dominated. But ECU, momentum-wise, emotionally, I don't know if they're built to recover, and now they're facing a 1st-and-20 with 4:46 to go in the third quarter.
Can I ask, Dustin, can I get a replay here for ESPN? I mean, I get a replay on everything. Like, you took away, you negated a touchdown here. You took it off the board. I haven't seen one replay yet about where he stepped out of bounds. Meanwhile, like, we break down everything in the National Football League, some of these college, like, I get nothing. They're looking at their chat with the rules analyst. Oh, my.
Watch this.
Fumble. Touchdown, Pitt.
I couldn't get the bet in. I was still opening up the app to get my bet on the Pitt money line.
What a turn of events.
They literally grabbed the ball and they ran it back, Pitt, and now they're up 13-10, PAT pending here. and you can't even bet them on the money line. They're minus 475. They went from minus 140 when I went to open it on the app to minus 475. They're laying 6.5, and your total's now back up to 38.5 as they line up to kick the PAT. Can we get a replay on this? I still want to bet.
We're going to get a replay. But think about that for a second. We were just watching. Gunn Jr. has a 68-yard touchdown run. East Carolina, about the 550 mark of the third quarter, about to go up 17-7. They negate the touchdown, say it's a 14-yard run because he stepped out of bounds. First down, East Carolina. First play, holding penalty on the Pirates. First and 20. Next play, sack, fumble, recovered pit, touchdown. All of a sudden, the Panthers are now about to go up 14-10. That is a stunning turn of events, Dustin. That is amazing, the one we just saw live.
So stunning, and it happened too quick. I hope someone got the bet in on minus 140 in that moment. They're now minus $5, and they're laying 6.5, although I can get a 5.5, I think, out here, although after the PAT, I think it's now at 6.5. I don't know if I'm willing to lay 6.5, though. That's the problem. But as we just laid out, this is where it could unravel. ECU might have been playing above their skis, really fired up for this game. One little thing doesn't go your way, and all of a sudden you're in meltdown mode. I mean, that was three straight plays of a meltdown. The running out of bounds after that, the hold, the strip sack, and then allowing them to run it back on the strip sack. ECU might be crumbling before our very eyes. That is a brutal
turn.
Yeah,
we might be looking at this where, let me ask you, Dustin, right now, would you ever take East Carolina plus the points, or would you be more I would never.
Only look at Pitt. I don't love it now just because we're missing out on a really good number, but yeah. I would only look at Pitt because now it's up to 7.5. They must be getting money. As soon as it was under a touchdown, because it's just a math game now. You're up 4. If you settle for a field goal after you get a stop, you're up 7. So you're covering the number at that point. I think laying 6.5 makes sense. Maybe during the commercial break, I'll convince myself to bet that 6.5.
The time to bet them was the first and 20 after the holding penalty. That was the time to bet Pitt right then and there. 10-7 game.
That was the spot. You got to buy low. It's like you don't want to buy peak value. It's like a stock. You want to buy the dips. And at that point, you were getting a pretty good dip on a team that closes a 12.5-point favorite in that situation. Hey, are you looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season? VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That's all the best bets, the betting splits, the AI-powered prop tools, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app and coverage of the bowl season, NFL playoffs, March Madness, and the Masters. Gift yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We haven't even touched the ice yet. We'll look at 13 games in the NHL coming up on the other side of Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get to the hockey in just a moment. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, but I got to give you a couple updates here because the Go Bowling Military Bowl is drunk. What we have just had happen over the course of the last five plays is absurd. We saw ECU potentially take the lead on a 60-plus yard run that was ruled back because the running back stepped out of bounds. Following play, holding by ECU, they're then backed up. A strip sack by Pitt turns into a touchdown. Pitt takes the lead. Ensuing drive, ECU scores a touchdown. Two plays, 75 yards on a 72-yard pass. They're up 17-14. Pitt then has the football, and they fumble the ball. ECU takes over. ECU's up 17-14. They have the football. They're in plus territory. And right now, they are favored minus 2.5, and your in-game total is 46.5. Moose, this is becoming maybe one of the craziest bowl games we've seen of the year.
The first half made my eyes bleed. The second half has been crazily entertaining. I mean, Dustin, it's been unbelievable. Really, the last 4 minutes, and we were on the airwaves for a lot of it. The 72-yard touchdown pass to Smith, now the fumble by Pitt. East Carolina's got the ball. I mean, it's crazy. Remember when I said I'd only bet Pitt? Well, I was wrong, and that was 6 minutes ago.
I'm happy my Pitt money line bet didn't get in right before that strip sack. I want no part of it. ECU has outplayed Pitt But every time there's a chance for ECU to like pull away and do something, Pitt kind of reminds you that they're just a bigger program. They're a Power Four school and they flex their muscles. So right now I'm staying away and I already envision my under of 52 and or 53 dying a very interesting death throughout the show. But more on that in a moment. We're at the end of the first half, 53 seconds remaining in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Penn State leads Clemson 3-0. Tigers facing a 4th-and-5. They have the football. A field goal would tie it, but they missed the chip shot field goal earlier. So curious what Dabo and Sweeney and company do there. We'll go from the Bronx to MSG with our next guest. He's Johnny Lazarus. Check him out at the Daily Faceoff. Also Bleacher Report Open Ice at JLazzy23 on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Happy holidays, my friend. I appreciate you doing this today. And I want to start, well, I guess it's not Madison Square. I misspoke. We're on the island. Rangers and the Islanders, where the Islanders are laying 1.5. The total is 5.5 in that game. Talk to me about this matchup. I grew up there. I grew up an Islander fan. I have not paid attention for a long time, but I still hate the Rangers, Johnny. How do you see this one going with right now? This one's a pick 'em.
Well, I was going to say, like a true Long Islander, you said I'm the island tonight. So I love that, Dustin. Happy holidays to you and Mark. Thank you guys for having me this morning. I actually just turned on that Pitt and ECU game because you guys have been talking about how good it's been. I'm not really a college football guy, but going into tonight's game, it's the first game back from Christmas break. These guys have all had like 3 days off. They probably haven't skated. Obviously, players are, you know, back this morning. They're getting their morning skating. But the first game after Christmas break, no matter what level, well, whether it's the NHL, whether it's college hockey, whether it's junior hockey, there's always a bit of rust there. And you can look at it at both sides where maybe the players are a bit rusty and don't have their legs under them, or maybe the goalies are a bit rusty and, you know, aren't seeing the puck as well early on. Like, I always lean toward an under in these games, especially if you're getting the line at 6.5. Like, I think the Rangers Islanders line is at 6.5, depending on what line you're looking at. But you got Igor Shesterkin in goal. David Riddick is starting for the Islanders. He's been on fire lately for the Islanders as well. Sorokin's still hurt. So it's a pretty good goalie matchup. The Rangers have struggled to score consistently all year. And the Islanders are getting Bo Horvat back in their lineup for the first time in about 5 games. So he was their hottest goal scorer, you know, before his injury. And now, you know, he's missed quite some time due to injury. So you got to think he'll be a little rusty too. So this game to me screams like an under. But with these first games back from Christmas break, you really never know. I always just lean under because I always feel like guys are a bit rusty.
Johnny, how about Senators and Leafs up there in Toronto? Toronto is plus 110 on the money line. The puck total is sitting at 6.5. And I saw a report coming out of Toronto earlier this morning that they're changing up their power play. How about Senators and Leafs tonight?
I would avoid the Toronto Maple Leafs at all costs. I know they had a big 6-3 win before the break against the Penguins, but the Ottawa Senators, offensively speaking, have been on fire like over the last 10 games or so. They've been one of the hottest, if not the hottest teams, I think, in the NHL since December 1st. And I can check that right now as I'm talking when it comes to teams and goal scoring. Like a guy like Drake Batherson has been an underrated guy this year as far as his goal scoring goes. He's a guy who should be a lock to score 30 goals now. He's never hit that number in his career. But, you know, a guy who could really rip the puck, gets around the front of the net. He's an underrated guy for a goal scoring prop. But as a team, the Senators, yeah, right now, since December 1st, are the second highest scoring team in the NHL. Their power play is at 34.1%, so that's clicking, but they're scoring 3.64 goals a game. Like, I look at this Ottawa team. They're a team that's bound for the playoffs. Obviously, got a sniff of it last year in the first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're playing tonight. And the Leafs have really just been a total disaster this year. Auston Matthews has not looked like he's been close to his best, and the defense has been a little bit shaky. So I would go Ottawa on the money line. I'd also lean over in that game, and if you could find a Drake Batherson scoring prop, I'd go for that too.
Johnny Lazarus is our guest here on Live Bet Saturday Daily Faceoff, Bleacher Report Open Ice at JLazzy23 on X. Well, if you like the angle for unders coming off the break here, what do you make of Caps Devils? Total's 5.5. Right now, Washington's even money. New Jersey's laying 120. Would you think about an under in that game?
1,000%, but I'd probably go team total under for the Devils, which might be 2.5. And in their last 5 games, they haven't scored more than 2 goals. And Jack Hughes has only been back for 2 of them, but the Devils have scored 1 goal in each of their last 2 games. And when you bring in that Christmas break factor, like I've been mentioning, they haven't found consistent offense at all over the past month. The Devils have been, you know, struggling mightily to have someone step up and provide while Jack Hughes has been out of the lineup. Like, you know, I'm looking at their team numbers right now, and as far as goal scoring goes, and so I like to look at like monthly segments. And since December 1st, they're the second lowest scoring team in the NHL. Their power play has been a disaster at 13.8%, but they're averaging less than two goals a game. So if you're looking for a total in that game, and especially with how Washington has played or how their goaltenders have played, Logan Thompson, to me, seems like he should be the starter for Team Canada. And he's certainly in the Vezina conversation as far as best goalies in the NHL go. So a Devils under 2.5, I like that play a lot.
Johnny, when you look at the entire slate, instead of pinpointing, I'm curious, is there a game outside of Islanders and Rangers, which you're going to be at, out on the island? Is there another game that you absolutely love tonight from a side or total perspective?
Side or total perspective, I'm hesitant with the first game back from break. But as far as the entertainment factor goes, actually, you know what? I'll scratch that. Edmonton Oilers on the money line, that would probably be the bet I'd go with, just because Connor McDavid has been the hottest player right now in anything. I think he has like 31 points in his last 11 games, and I can double check that, but he's been on an insane run this past month. So McDavid, since December 1st, as I look at it right now, 12 games played, 12 goals, 19 assists, 31 points. Him and Leon Draisaitl have been on a tear. So I'd go with the Edmonton Oilers in the money line, but if you're looking for entertainment, the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning, every time those two teams meet, it's a bloodbath. So Tampa and Florida, Brandon Hagel sounds like he's playing. He hasn't played since the last time these two teams meet. There's always fireworks when those teams get together. I couldn't tell you what the best bet in that game would be, but if you're looking to watch an entertaining hockey game tonight, that's certainly the one I'd watch.
Chatting with our buddy Johnny Lazarus, Daily Faceoff, Bleach Report, Open Ice, at JLazzy23 on X. Last one here, Avs coming here to VGK. Right now, they're minus 155, plus 130 with the Golden Knights. Total 6.5, game being played at T-Mobile here in Las Vegas. What do you make of this matchup?
I would never in a million years right now bet against the Colorado Avalanche. They are far and away the best team in the NHL. They have been since the start of the season. We're about 35 plus 40 games into the season. And this team only has two losses in regulation and has a plus 62 goal differential. Like, they've been on an absolute tear. Their road record has been amazing at 12-2-5. Their home record's even more impressive at 15-0-2. But obviously, going against Vegas, you care more about the road record. Vegas has not been as good as I anticipated they'd be, or as good as I think most people anticipated they would be. Mitch Marner, you know, has adjusted fine, but not exceptional. You know, I think most people would have thought Marner would have exploded playing with Jack Eichel this year. And I think it's still taking Marner some time to get acclimated just to, you know, being on a different team for the first time in, you know, almost a decade. But, Eichel, I think, is out. So, that's a key hole in the Vegas Golden Knights lineup. So if you're looking to place a bet in this game, I'd probably go, you might even get it at plus money. I'd go the Colorado Avalanche to win regulation. You know, they've been really good in 60 minutes all year long. And obviously, if the Golden Knights are missing Jack Eichel, it's hard to replace a guy like that.
He's our guy, Johnny Lazarus. You can check him out over at Daily Faceoff. Of course, Bleacher Report, Open Ice, at JLazzy23. Happy holidays, my friend. Enjoy the game and go Islanders tonight.
Happy holidays, fellas. Thanks, Dustin. Thanks, Martin.
Awesome. Thanks, stuff Johnny. From Johnny there. We still got 20 seconds left in the Pinstripe Bowl, and Penn State's on the move, trying to get into field goal range. And more drunkenness in the Military Bowl. ECU up 17-14 with Pitt. He's Mark Melusis. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll take you through the end of those games on the other side.
Saturday on VSAN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it. It's Live Bet Saturday. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Mark Melusis. And we've got some interesting action going on here with a couple of college football bowl games. We're about 30 minutes away from another one to get going. We'll preview as well with UConn and Army going at it at Fenway Park. But when it comes to the Pinstripe Bowl, Penn State with maybe the most impressive offensive drive of the day to set up a field goal. They're now up 6-3 at the break. And the number currently is Penn State laying 2.5 and a total of 28.5. But as we were in break there, Mark, we were just watching Penn State make a couple of nice plays offensively, get into field goal range, and they had surrendered the lead and it was tied up at threes. Now they're back up in front by three. What'd you make of that by Penn State?
Yeah, 48-yard field goal, and it was a pass to the tight end to get them across that green line that you see of their line to gain to get into comfortable field goal range. But, you know, even if they didn't complete that pass, the kicker would have made it. That was a pretty impressive kick, dealing with the cold, outdoor, not a prototypical NFL stadium. Obviously, they're playing at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx to drill a 48-yard field goal, and that probably would have been good from about 53. So both teams have been done in by drops. Klubnik has underthrown receivers throughout the course of the first half for Clemson. Penn State has had, I can count, and just kind of watching it as we're doing the show here, Dustin, about three or four drops. Their quarterback has been done in the first half that could have lengthened out or extended drives. But Penn State with the 6-3 lead and what has been a low-scoring affair. You were on it early. Take the under. And unless we get a completely different half number two, that's where this game is trending as well.
Yeah, laid 2.5 with Clemson pregame. I don't think it's horrible. It's not dead yet, but I don't love it. Nope. At this point in time. Under 43.5 in game. Do feel very good about that. Neither team is doing anything dynamic offensively outside of a 2-minute drill at the end for the Nittany Lions. Now, when it comes to the Military Bowl, things got wacky for a minute in the third. We're now in the fourth, 12:37 to go. 2014 ECU is up. Pitt has the football. They're at their own 41-yard line, and they're catching 1.5 or -105 on the money line. I think this could be a point where you take Pitt. I know we've talked about it a couple of instances, but ECU had a few chances to run away with this one and put it on Pitt. And every time they've had that opportunity, the Panthers have kind of bowed their neck, showed their talent, and made a play. I think with the game on the line and a touchdown, which would give them the lead, I think Pitt might be the right side to look at here in the final 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Kind of whirlwind of emotions. A game that was really kind of utterly boring in the first half in the span of, and, you know, we ran through, we were on the air when it was going down. East Carolina had a 68-yard touchdown run negated because the running back stepped out of bounds. Then two plays later, sack, fumble, Pitt takes it in for a touchdown. So ECU went from a point where you thought they were leading 17-7 to then all of a sudden they're trailing 14-10. And then two plays later, Smith with the 72-yard catch and run for East Carolina gets a 17-14 lead. Then Pitt fumbles the ball in their own end. East Carolina, as it converts on a 4th-and-2 fake field goal to extend the drive, and then they're only able to settle for a Mazzy 33-yard field goal that gives them a 6-point lead. So had every opportunity to go up two scores in this game, still only up one score, 20-14, 11:38 mark, Pitt facing a 3rd-and-9 right around their own 40-yard line.
It looks like ECU got a stop. However, there's a flag on the play. We'll see what the call is here. But if it's on ECU, yeah, it's on ECU. Pitt's got new life. So they're down 6. They're going to be across midfield because that was an offsides call on East Carolina. And now Pitt catching 2.5 plus 120 on the money line.
You might be right.
I'm not going to touch it because I like my under 53 in this game. I think that's going to get home here. But I do think Pitt is live at this point in time. I'd go -120 on the money line and take them to win this thing. Or if you're feeling a little softer about it, go +1.5. But I do think -120 is the way I'd look.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that would probably be the side to play when you're looking at it, where Pitt has the football right now facing a 3rd-and-4 or for the Pitt Panthers. I don't know if they convert here. I think you're a little bit ahead of me, but 20-14 down, right at ball, right around midfield. I think you're right on the side where Dustin, where you'd lean Pitt now to find a way to score a touchdown here and hold on for the win.
You know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to go -114 Pitt money line. A little half unit play. Let's have a little bit of fun.
I like that.
I don't want to risk everything on my under because I had a good read pre-flop, but watching the momentum swings in this game and so much of betting is figuring out where that momentum is at this point in time. A lot of people will say it's not real. If you watch this game, you can see it's very real. There's been times where it felt like ECU had all of it and Pitt just wasn't going to show. Yet here we are, and it's a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. Pitt's in plus territory. Pitt has better players. And while ECU has played about perfect football, they're playing above who they actually are talent-wise. And at some point, that kind of runs out of steam when you miss out on opportunities. So we went minus 114 on the Pitt Panthers to get it done here in the Military Bowl.
I'm with you. You know, I'm going to hop on a board with that as well. And here's the other thing. When you look back on sometimes in games, and sometimes it plays out in this way, it doesn't play out with 100% certainty. When you look at an underdog coming into a game and they have an opportunity to grab a stranglehold of the game, yep, and they fail to do so, a lot of times that comes back to haunt them in the end. And maybe this is going to be another perfect case in point with the Pitt Panthers driving, facing the 2nd and 6 inside the East Carolina 40.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the playoff games coming up. We'll keep you updated on all of these games throughout the show here. But we do have playoff games coming up this week. And Moose, I'm a Miami fan. My pops went there. Yeah. So I grew up watching Gino Toretta as a kid. I'm not one of these front runners that just joined the party back in 2001-ish. But this is a tough one. And this gives me a little PTSD to that Fiesta Bowl where that flag came in late and threw the PI on Miami and the Buckeyes won a national title. I think Miami has a chance to keep it close. I don't think they can win this one. They are 9.5-point underdogs. Ohio State's laying 9.5 in the Cotton Bowl. The total's been bet up to 42.5. I don't know if I like that. I think the under is the way to look. I trust both these defenses. It's the offenses I have questions with. What do you make of Mario Cristobal taking on Ryan Day?
Yeah, I lean Day more than Cristobal. I loved that Miami team that eventually lost to Ohio State in that game. And that was the game McGahee tore his ACL and tore basically every ligament in his knee. And I agree with you, it was a phantom pass interference call that should never have been called. The Canes were unbelievably talented that game, and they should have been victorious that night. And in more ways than one, I was rooting for Miami that night, Dustin. So I felt your pain. So you look at it. I can understand, and you have an emotional aspect to it. I look at it where I think Beck's going to have to play the game of his life as a Miami Hurricane, at quarterback. I think he's going to have to be ridiculously good for them to play within that number. I think Ohio State probably is going to get a little edgy coming off their performance in that Big Ten championship game against Indiana as a team. Ryan Day, obviously, you can call into question in big-time spots. What is he in terms of a head coach? However, I look at Ohio State, I think they've got more solutions on offense, and I get a little bit concerned about Beck in a big-time spot going up against that Ohio State defense. That's the only concern I have in that game, to where I think Beck's going to have to be really, really good. If he is, I don't disagree with you. I just don't know if I'm willing to bet that.
Yeah, no, I think the under is the play. I go on with Patrick Maher on VSiN Live on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. He knows I'm a Miami fan. We go way back, and he texts me during that game. He's like, you didn't tell me Beck was as bad as he's looked the last few weeks. I mean, I was like, maybe I defended him through cane colored glasses for a while, because early in the year he did look good, and he's had moments where he's been decent. But against A&M, and maybe we'll chalk some of that up to the field being bad at Kyle Field, but he looked pretty, and he was putting the ball in harm's way. You can't do that against this Buckeyes defense. I like the under 42.5, though. I think both defenses show up. At least Miami's defense will keep Ohio State at bay for a quarter or two. And then for the Buckeyes, there's no reason to put it on anyone. You want to live to fight another day. You want to stay healthy. So I don't imagine they just put it on Miami in this spot with a playoff game and another one looming down the road. So that's my lean. I kind of like the under.
No,
when it comes
I get it. And listen, the other thing would be the emotion there. Miami's been waiting for one of these kind of statement victories as a program. This would be it, that they are back as an elite level program. And, you know, to be able to knock off Ohio State, who many people believe pound for pound is the most talented team in college football, in a college football playoff game, then Michael Irvin on the sideline and every former Miami Hurricane throwing up the U, everybody would be celebrating. If they're able to get this kind of a win, Dustin, that would really cement home that the Miami Hurricanes are back.
I would say this. I don't think anyone's all that special in college football. Like we'll talk about it in a moment, but I think Ole Miss is live against Georgia. I think anyone knocking off anyone, it could happen this week in terms of the college football playoff. ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds. Check it out right now. Take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download PropitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started today. We'll have the end of the Military Bowl coming your way next on Live Bet Saturday.